It's okay, it's John here. 6.7 million barrels per day have just been canceled.
Saudi Arabia is saying that they started to cut oil output as storage has started to fill up.
When we look at what happened under the Biden administration with America's oil output, it's greatly restrained going forward in the future.
President Biden has issued an order banning new offshore oil and gas drilling along much of our coastline.
The president banning new drilling of oil and gas along 625 million acres of ocean.
You're talking about millions upon millions of acres of land that we could have used to build oil output, instead has been contracted. And so we have this situation that's unfolding overseas, and you have what just happened during the last presidential term, you can see some economic problems coming very, very quickly to America. In this video, I'm going to give you a brief presentation on what I think is very likely going to happen to the housing market, to the economy, and to the overall U.S. consumer. Please hit the like button. We do YouTube, we'll share the content, educate more people about what's going on. Take a look at this. Gulf producers cut 6.7 million barrels per day of oil. And this is going viral. Saudi, UAE, Kuwait, everyone's talking about this. Kuwait's actively reducing its oil production and refining. Even Russia joins in. Russian oil shutdown troubles, Putin allies in Europe. With the world riveted on the war engulfing OPEC's biggest members, the tankers en route to Croatia are on few people's radar, but the deliveries to the energy backwater represent a tentative step toward loosening Putin's ties to the remaining European Union. Now, this is the issue. We're currently importing between 30 and 35%. Biden administration has not directly shut down existing active U.S. oil production, but has restricted future production through policy decisions like the 2025 ban on new offshore drilling across 625 million acres and restrictions on 13 million acres in Alaska's Petroleum Reserve, while leasing for new projects was limited. Overall, the U.S. production hit record high during his term. So everything in the future is the issue. A permanent ban was implemented on new oil and gas drilling on the 625 million acres. Alaska leasing restrictions, Keystone Pipeline, everyone remembers that. The leasing slowdown. So we're set up for inflation. We're set up for higher cost. We're set up for a problem. And as Iran disrupts oil prices, consumers could be hammered. Now, consumers are already hammered. You can see it right now with what's happening with auto loan defaults, credit card defaults, even private credit. You've heard Blackstone walked into some major issues. Even BlackRock is halting withdrawals on their private credit. Now, private credit essentially is where private equity firms will borrow money. So you could have BlackRock, for example, lend money to a smaller private equity firm or to a smaller company, and they will use those funds to grow their own business. And they'll pay generally a higher interest rate. And so they get a yield on those loans. When you have a situation where BlackRock is saying they got $11, $12 trillion worth of assets under management, where they're saying we're not going to release your funds, at least for the time being until we assess the situation, it signals where the current state of the market is, right? It signals that we're not in 2021, 2022 anymore. This video is sponsored by Starfighter Space. And honestly, this one caught my attention. Starfights operates the only commercial fleet of Mach 2 F-104 Starfighter jets in the world, based out of NASA's Kennedy Space Center. Their mission, build a hypersonic air launch system that slashes the cost and timeline of getting microsatellites into orbit. What makes them stand out is the validation they already have. NASA, Lockheed Martin, GE and Avering, and the U.S. Air Force have all worked with them. That's not a startup pitch. That's real aerospace infrastructure. They just completed a $40 million raise, and now they're heading to the NASDAQ on December 18th under the ticker FJET. That's a rare window where retail investors can get in ahead of the institutional wave. Comparable aerospace IPOs over the past year have opened anywhere from 30 to over 140% on day one. Do your own research, talk to your financial advisor, and if this sounds interesting, go to starfighterspace.com to learn more before the December 18th IPO. Now back to the video. Now, when you look at just the everyday American consumer, everyday American worker, 476,000 American workers are working full-time jobs, two full-time jobs simultaneously. Now, this is what's going to be unfolding, my view. Inflation is going to get much, much worse. I mean, just from 2019, if you had $1 million in 2019, you would need 1.272 million. So you basically lost 27% of that purchasing power from 2019 to today. If we've walked into what just happened with Biden, with the 625 million acres, the 13 million plus acres in addition to that, that have also been restricted here, the Alaska leasing restrictions, you're going to see prices go up. Our imports are going to get more expensive. Everything is going to get more expensive. The petrodollar is going to continue to erode in authority. And as that begins to happen, if U.S. consumers are already tapped out, then the wealth transfer, this wealth divide, is going to continue to grow. And I don't see that stopping anytime soon. In fact, there's a billionaire, his name is Ron Barron, and he came out saying that what this means is prices double every 10 to 12 years. Your savings cut in half in real terms in about every 15 years.
And that means everything doubles in 10 years. The value of your money falls in half every 15 years.
So if the average American consumer, their wages are flat, but everything else is going up, what does that mean? Right? People are going to cut costs to survive. They're going to maybe sell their house, maybe become a renter, because right now there's a lot of really good rental deals. And people are looking at, hey, you know, if I sell the house, I'm able to reduce my monthly expenses and I'd rather feed myself than not, right? So they're going to sell the house if they have to or rent it out, or they're going to try to find some alternative if they don't have the option of making more money. Rents in Canada just fell for 17th consecutive month, now down 7.4% over the past 2 years. Same thing happening in LA and a lot of cities. You know, you got the Sun Belt seeing higher vacancies. You're seeing massive rent reductions in places like Austin and many markets all throughout the country, with Nashville, that were radically overbuilt. And so when you have this situation where rents are coming down, home ownership is much, much more expensive. You know, they claim that Sunbelt vacancies at 9%. They're claiming that you're looking at about 38% more in cost on a mortgage than you would to rent. That's April. So just imagine with inflation, that number is going to be going up. Insurance is going to be going up, right? So the cost to be a homeowner is just going to keep going up. And so when you look at that, you realize that what's going to likely happen is you're going to start to see a lot of these real estate syndicators, a lot of real estate investors, a lot of people that, you know, were investing in real estate funds that were buying properties in Austin in 2021 and 2022, where they have their debt resetting in this market with high inventory, higher insurance costs, higher vacancies than they initially anticipated. There's going to be distress, right? And you're going to see this roll up of assets. Big companies are going to be stepping in, acquiring these properties. And once there's this consolidation of that inventory, rents are going to be going up. So in the short term, it looks like, hey, we're going to see, you know, a big arbitrage on renting versus owning. But in reality, it's not going to be that way 5 years, 10 years from now. In reality, you're probably going to be better off being an owner than a renter. But the big question is, how many people can hold on during this transitional period? I think it's going to be a pretty crazy ride. And I think inflation is just going to keep ramping up. So, you mean electronics, for example, almost all televisions in the U.S. are sold outside of the country. Right, furniture, 2/3 of furniture sold in the U.S. are imported. Food, 15%. General household items, 35%. Key suppliers, China is on top of the source of many household goods, representing 50% of the market. Now, what this is also going to mean, though, is that if you look at 2021 and 2020, during that period, a lot of people spent much more time on their phones. They were making buying decisions on Amazon. Whereas in 2018 and 2019, people are going to the local store and spending the money inside of their community. And so as that was happening, Amazon's stock price was going up in a very, very big way. They used that money. Amazon and Walmart used that money to build out their own infrastructure, their own shipping and distribution. And they were investing heavily in that infrastructure, robotics and technology. And so as they began doing that, they ended up building out a massive moat on their business to where they can undercut the local store, right? They can sell that same product at a much, much, much lower price point. So when that begins to happen and inflation is going up, then 476,000 Americans working two full-time jobs, people can't afford to live. What are they going to do? They're going to buy on Amazon. they're going to buy from Walmart. And so the smaller retailer is going to continue to have much more pressure, right? A whole lot more pressure. And when you have half of all workers in America working for U.S. small business, and U.S. small business is walking into this storm, you can just see everything adds up to this massive wealth transfer. My suggestion is buy assets that produce income. Own assets. The paper itself is going to continue to erode in value. So if you own great assets with fixed rate debt or no debt, and you have a nice spread on your monthly distribution over your debt service and expenses, ride that out over the next 5, 10, 15, 20 years. You will see that that was probably one of the smartest decisions that you've made, right? Own real assets, because I think in the future, it's gonna get a hell of a lot harder to do so. Let's have a conversation about this. What are your thoughts on the entire situation? And I'll catch you next video.